This is one of these stories now that makes you wonder, really, makes you wonder, considering this is 2017. And as you heard earlier in this programme, we've all been on a bit of a journey here in this part of the world. The Fair Employment Tribunal has found that a woman who worked for Stevenson and Reed Limited in Belfast was discriminated against, harassed and victimised on the grounds of her religious belief or political opinion and constructively unfairly dismissed. The lady's called Helen Scott. She's 52 years old. She was awarded just over £20,000. The Equality Commission supported her case. Apparently, Ms. Scott worked as a sales manager for the bathroom plumbing and heating supplies firm in its Prince Regent Road branch. The company's workforce is predominantly Protestant, and at the time of the events described, Ms. Scott was the only Catholic employee in the East Belfast showroom. Now, Ms. Scott has worked for, indeed, the company from 2011 to 2015. And there was one particular day when things seemed to take, well, a turn that would have been embarrassing for everyone who was there, maybe more than embarrassing. Let me speak to Dr. Michael Wardlow, who's from the Equality Commission. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Michael, I described this as embarrassing, and that's the way people would feel sometimes if they lose the rag and they shout something that they would regret shouting. And a line manager in this company, the line manager of Ms. Scott, shouted Chucky Arla aggressively into her face. What was the background to that?
Oh, look, very straightforward. Ms. Scott, you said she was the only Catholic working in the place, but actually she was only Catholic in the showroom. I think one of the directors was actually a Catholic. So although it was majority Protestant, she'd been working from 2011. Things seemed to be going okay. And this particular day, there was a mix-up about attendance at a sales meeting between her and her line manager, which one of them would attend. And she assumed she wasn't attending. She walked past her line manager, and this was in public in front of other people, and he verbally abused her. He used swear words, and he also shouted aggressively at her, Chucky Arla. Now, she knew, obviously, that he knew she was Catholic. She was the only Catholic in the showroom. And, of course, if this happens publicly, not only do you feel humiliated, but you also feel, as she did, that this was menacing and was said because she was a Catholic. She didn't let it sit there. Within a day or two, she had lodged a grievance and said that, you know, I want redress on this, because she didn't get an apology. And things then progressed, unfortunately. As a result, on the 21st of August, she actually resigned, believing that trust had broken down. And therefore, what she was doing in the tribunal was trying, if you like, to prove her case that she had been harassed and discriminated, victimised and constructively dismissed, and actually the tribunal upheld all.
Some people looking in would say that the person who shouted it, obviously everyone's agreeing he shouldn't under any circumstances have said it, but he was at the end of his tether, he shouted something he regretted, an apology wasn't forthcoming. Within a few weeks, the person who was making the claim was off on the sick and saw a huge cheque dangling.
No, absolutely not. Let me just, I mean, factually that's not correct. The facts of the case are that when she lodged a grievance, the law protects anyone who either assists in a grievance or lodges one. In other words, that if you're discriminated against after that event, it can be victimisation. Now, what the company did once she lodged the grievance was they took out disciplinary action against her, and she alleging that there were customers who said that her work wasn't good. And when this came to the tribunal, they basically said these were a year old. And secondly, when she was off sick, having texted to say she was off sick and having put her line in the post, they sent a recorded letter to her saying she had breached their sickness policy. So this was nothing about money at this stage. She hadn't even approached us. This was simply about a woman who not only after lodging a grievance thought she was protected, she believed that she was then being the subject of victimisation, so much so that she couldn't work there anymore. Now, I don't think there's anything about a cheque in that. She left a paid employment where she was for 6 years, not knowing if she was going to get another job. So I think it's unfair to say she saw a big cheque dangling in front of her.
Yeah, I'm saying this is how people looking in on it, who don't
yeah,
have all
absolutely.
The information,
I can see that.
That's how they see it. Once someone shouts, for example, Chucky Arla aggressively into the face of a Catholic employee, and you happen to be a Protestant employee in a Protestant area, is there any going back from that? Could this have been rescued?
Well, let me take the fact it was Chucky Arla. Let's imagine it was a racial comment, or any comment at all. I mean, people there's common sense that prevails. People lose their head in circumstances. And I can't go back in time, but I imagine had the individual Sam at that particular point in time said, look, I'm really sorry, I lost the head here, I should never have said it, would you accept an apology? I don't know what Helen may have done at that point. All I can tell you is that apology wasn't forthcoming, and even a letter that he wrote to her said, I'm willing to apologise, but you've got to understand, blah, 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 I've been shouted at too, I was lied at, and it wasn't therefore an apology. So I do think that this isn't that the only result here was to take this forward. Even had they done something about it, internally investigating it as a grievance, this may never have ended up in a Fair Employment Tribunal. So there are a series of things that could have happened before this, Frank. But, you know, the big thing is this company didn't even have an equal opportunities policy in place.
And that's hard to believe in 2017.
Absolutely. We have pro formas on the website to download. We give information free. You know, we work with 3,500 employers. We are regularly giving advice. And this is about prevention. No one wants to pick it up at the tail end. And, you know, we support about 50 or 60 strategic cases every year. If I tell you at the minute 40% of those are disability, and then somewhere around 20% are sex and race, we have only about 10% of cases ever are political and religious opinion. We're supporting 3 at the minute. So on the one hand, numerically, we don't have too many of them. But this actually highlights the fact it is still going on. And perhaps it's not reported as much. But I would want to say that people have protections. And there were potentials here for the employer to have done something about it. So it might not necessarily have ended up in a tribunal.
Are you taking as big a risk by using a term like Chucky or Chucky or La in a joking way in work? Are you taking as big a risk as you would be if you used a racist term in a joking way that no one seems to ever use now because they're so aware of how unacceptable it is? I can't remember the last time I ever heard anyone say something that sounded like a racist joke in any of the workplaces I've been in. But you will occasionally hear the Chucky word.
Well, not only Chucky. I mean, in the middle of this tribunal, the equivalent that was thrown out was no surrender. You know, so if you had flipped the roles and a Catholic employee might have shouted in the face of a Protestant, no surrender. You know, that was, in a sense, what the Fair Employment Tribunal, what was raised as if you like, an equivalent that made people think of the significance of this. Frank, you and I are old enough to remember times whenever we went through workforces that were one or other community and daily, quote, banter, unquote, went on, and if you didn't roll with the banter, you were not perceived to have a bit of sense of humour. Thankfully, those days have gone. Now, what we don't want is whitewashed walls where people are petrified to say anything in a workplace. We want good and harmonious workplaces. And therefore, if people are having a conversation about politics over at one side, and that's between two consenting adults, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. In the heat of the moment, people say things they regret. And that could be a racist or a sexist or, in this case, political slur. You can't take words back, but what you can do is say, I'm really sorry, I lost the head, and there's not. In terms of the race issue, Frank, there's a slightly different set of legislation because obviously you've got race hate and it's a stronger case. There's been much more promotion around it. People are much more aware. And maybe this is about awareness, Frank. Maybe this is bringing us back into the 21st century and saying, actually, this nonsense that you can only take offence, you can't give offence, has to be stopped. I've heard that even said on the back of this case. She shouldn't have taken offence. As if somehow you can say what you want and it's up to you how do you take it. And in fact, the way the letter was written, it was sort of saying, you know, I will apologise to you, but you've got to understand. In other words, you know, you took offence. So I would like to say that people should not put up with this. There are ways to do it internally, and the company unfortunately didn't bring that forward. Ultimately, this could end up, in some cases, as it did here in Fair Employment Tribunal, when all your dirty washing is out in public. It would have been a lot better had this been settled very early on. So I think the warning is, employers, take note you've got equal opportunities policies, take note that people know what to do, and secondly, make sure that your workforce is educated in terms of what is appropriate within good and harmonious workplaces. It can be done. Lots of good practice out there.
Of course, there's lots of good practice out there, and it's surprising that we hear of a highly respected company finding themselves in such difficulty. But I'm just trying to give some guidance to other people who'd be listening on a work site as we speak. There was an air of aggression here, and that is a big part of the problem. In relation to a joke, a bit of crack, as you say, you don't want whitewashed walls. We're never, understandably, going to have even the most gentle of racist jokes. As you say, there's legislation.
Yeah.
But what about the religious joke? What about the political joke? Because Chucky is, in many circumstances, a political joke, which can, even No Surrender can be a political joke, which gently used can be incredibly funny. Are you taking a risk by cracking political jokes in a gentle way, in a funny way, in a tomfoolery way in the workplace?
I think this goes very close to what, you, as I tried to refer to earlier, as workplace banter. And there's something very different in a couple of friends having a drink or sitting down over a cup of coffee and did you hear the one about? But, you know, there's something very different when you see two or three people having a charged conversation and then suddenly somebody comes off with a remark they don't want to do. And the way I would put it is, you need to have common sense. You need to be thinking about what you're saying. Now, we all have explosions. We all say things. And if you do say it, then there is redress. You can say you're sorry, take the person to one side, or if it's said publicly, apologize to everyone. I don't want to have a sanitized workforce where people are petrified to talk about anything. But listen, a lot of employers allow people to sit down and talk about what are the grounds, what are the things they can... In other words, involve your employees about what's appropriate within the workplace. I mean, it's the same about what stuff's up. Some places don't have any signs up at all. Some places have signs up. Your reception, some of them are whitewashed and some have signs up. So this is actually about involving your employees about what for them would be a good and harmonious workplace. She was the only Catholic who was on the showroom floor. Everyone knew that. She knew that. To say something as politically charged as Chucky or La was inappropriate at worst, at best rather, and politically offensive at worst. Now, he did swear at her as well. Now, in other words, even forgetting the political overtones, this was aggressive behaviour. Now, that would have presumably have been dealt with a grievance policy, notwithstanding any of the laws around this. And the fact they didn't have the policy didn't help in this. So this is sending a signal out. Don't wait for these things to come. Prepare yourself. Take advice from us. Involve your employees about discussions about what good and harmonious workplaces might look like. And if in doubt, then don't say it. I think that's it. I think it's caution.
So the fact that there was no policy within the company, does that mean disciplinary action can't be taken against the line manager?
I honestly don't know what the internal mechanisms of this are, because sometimes Fair Employment Tribunal settlements have agreements in them that, you know, we've got to work with the employer or that they have to do certain things. This only came out on Monday, and therefore it's still, you know, the paper's almost not, the ink isn't almost dry on it. But there were no requirements as part of the settlement for anybody to do anything. Now, that's not to say that we won't be working with the employer. Of course we will. And we would be wanting to help any employer that finds itself in a position that, my goodness, do we have a policy? But Frank, I can put all the policies that I want. If people ignore the policies, then you may forget about it. So this is about hearts and minds. And it's about trying to say, what is the spirit or culture of that organisation? And I think that's where the conversation should be. In a sense, the policies are there to remind people of good practice. And in some cases, people aren't aware of the good practice. They don't have training. They don't have personal development. They might think it's about a crack. The problem is, it needs to be something that you take proactive decisions on and don't wait for it to happen. This could be in another workplace, the same thing could happen. And we want to highlight this, that people have protections and employers have responsibilities, and we're here to help and we give free advice.
Does it ever, unfortunately, and I emphasise unfortunately, count against the employee, in this case Ms. Scott, when she applies for another job, that people will have labelled her as someone who got compensation against a former employee she worked with?
Well, let me put it this way, it shouldn't. But you and I both know Northern Ireland, leaving aside what's happened to Helen, you know, people sometimes will talk out. I mean, obviously Helen's not doing media, but she's allowed her photograph to go forward, and therefore people will recognise her. And you and I know that, oh, that's the bairn, that's the guy, that's the boy. And I want to say, look, this is wrong. The motivation for Helen in this was not about money. And in fact, this woman has so much resilience that she is now in another job. For somebody else, this could have been crippling for them. They could have just not been able to face up to working somewhere else. But Helen has been able to face her demons. She's got herself into another job, and she's making another life for herself, trying to leave this behind. About 17,000 of the 20,000 was for what the tribunal called injury to feelings, and only 3,000 was for unfair dismissal. So none of this, if you like, was anything to do with lost earnings. But that 17,000 was the extent to which this tribunal felt her feelings were injured. She wouldn't have known before she went into this, even would she have won it. So the idea of sitting for 3 days being cross-examined, thinking you may get a check at the end of it, I'm not sure that would motivate a lot of people. So therefore, I would hope that people out there would be very generous and gracious to her.
Yeah, she's been through a very difficult time.
She has, Frank.
Michael Wardlow, Dr. Michael Wardlow, thanks for your time this morning. Thank
not at
you.
All, Frank.
Thank you.
Thanks again now. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's a reminder to every company to have their policies in place.